At the end of our passage, God identifies himself as the God of Bethel. In chapter 31 and verse 13, I am the God of Bethel. But I think the whole passage reveals that, as we'll come to see, I trust. Well, notice first of all in the first few verses of this passage, verses 25 to 30, that Laban is blessed because of Jacob. Laban is blessed because of Jacob. Jacob is telling Laban that he's fulfilled the contract that they have made. And so verse 26, give me my wives and children for whom I have served you. I think it's a way of saying, you know, the contract has been fulfilled. I've done my 14 years and now it's time for me to depart. You know how much work I've done for you. I've served you that contracted 14 years. Now I will depart. But Laban recognizes that he's been blessed because of Jacob. If I have found favor in your eyes, please stay. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Now, surely Laban didn't need to use the occult, the divination, whatever method he was using. He didn't need to do that. Wasn't it evident that God's blessing came with Jacob? And when Jacob came, God's blessing accompanied him. Laban wants to retain the benefit of God's blessing by keeping Jacob there. If I have found favour in your eyes, please stay. I've learned that the Lord has blessed me because of you. And Jacob testifies to that fact himself. Jacob has said, you know how I have worked for you and how your livestock have fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. Yeah, Jacob makes the point again about the fact of his faithful service, but he acknowledges that's not the reason that you've been blessed. It's not my diligence. It's the Lord's blessing that has brought the increase. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. Well, you see, that's the a fulfillment of the Bethel dream that Jacob had back in chapter 28. In chapter 28 and verse 14, in that dream, at Bethel, God said, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your descendants, your offspring. All people on earth will be blessed through you. Well, here was Laban, blessed through Jacob. God fulfills the promise, and Jacob and Laban testify to that truth. God fulfills the promise that he made at Bethel. I am the God of Bethel. It's a reminder, though, I think, that this is God's modus operandi. This is God's way of operating. This is the way that God does things. We are blessed because of another, the Lord Jesus. That's why we receive blessing, because of another. That's the ultimate fulfillment of God's promise to Jacob. Through you and your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. Well, the ultimate offspring that had in view was the Lord Jesus, who came from Jacob's family, from Leah's child Judah, from that tribe. That's the fulfillment and the blessing. That's the way that God operates. Blessing comes on account of another. As Paul writes to the Ephesians, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It's in connection with Christ that blessing comes to us. We owe all blessing to him. And I think with Laban, we should acknowledge that. We should testify to that. That the blessing that we have, it's not something we've earned. It's not something we deserve. It's God's grace to us in connection with someone else, the Lord Jesus. And so salvation comes to us, that ultimate blessing, because of Jesus and in Jesus and through Jesus. That blessing becomes ours. And therefore, we must ensure that we are in union with him. That's the place of blessing, in union with Jesus. That's why Laban wants to retain Jacob there. Well, we must maintain that union with the Lord Jesus. That's where blessing comes. That's how we receive blessing initially. That's how blessing continues to be our portion, in union with Christ. And so this is God's way of operating, to give blessing through another. And the blessing comes to us, the blessing of salvation, through Jesus Christ and by him alone. And so if we would know God's blessing now and for eternity, we only find it in Christ Jesus, in union with him, through him, and because of him. We must always remember that. We must always remind ourselves of that as we think of God's blessing. Laban blessed because of Jacob, in keeping with God's promise, ultimately fulfilled in Jacob's offspring, the Lord Jesus, who brings blessing to the whole earth, as that promise had it, and we've seen MAF being part of that fulfillment as they share and facilitate gospel work across the world. But then notice that I think the bulk of the passage is Jacob blessed despite Laban. Laban's blessed because of Jacob, but Jacob is blessed despite Laban. Jacob wants to provide for his own family as he anticipates departing. The little you had, he says in verse 30, before I came has increased greatly. The Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now, when may I do something for my own household? He came with just a stick. You remember his walking stick? And now he seeks some provision for his family. And so this deal is drawn up. Laban has offered to pay wages. Verse 28, name your wages and I will pay them. And again, verse 31, what shall I give you? Notice what Jacob says, don't give me anything. Perhaps that's an echo of Abraham when the king of Sodom offered him the spoils. No, I'm not going to take anything from you. If you'll do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. And so Jacob says, let's divide the flocks into those that are one colour, either white, or the goats are probably dark coloured, and those that have markings on them. I think it's a bit ambiguous here, because he does say, don't give me anything. And I think what Jacob is suggesting is that any who are born after this point, any that are born with markings on, will be his. So don't give me anything now. Anything born with markings on after this, they will be mine. It may include the ones that are already marked. I think that's not exactly clear, I think, there. I was reading one writer who went into the genetics of this. The markings are a recessive gene, apparently. And so in the first year, they would make up 25% of the flock. In the next year, they would be 12.5% of the flock. In the next year, they would be 6.25% of the flock, apparently. So Laban thinks, well, this is a good deal. Jacob's amount is going to be a decreasing amount, and therefore this looks a good deal, and that's why immediately he agrees. Verse 34, let it be as you have said. And then just to make sure, I think Laban then takes away all those who have markings and removes them 3 days' journey away so that they can't mate with any of the flock to ensure that Jacob's amount is even fewer than it would have been if these marked animals were allowed to remain in the flocks. So that same day, he removed all the male goats, streaked and spotted, all the speckled female goats, placed them in the care of his sons, that's Laban. He put a 3 day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks. Well, then Jacob employs a scheme that he believes will influence the reproduction that happens using optical impression. So he gets these sticks and strips the bark off in places, so it's got white bits and dark bits of bark on these branches, and he places them in the troughs, and the animals come to drink when they're in season for producing young, with a view of seeking to influence the young that are produced. But we know it's genetics, not optics, that result in the sort of lambs and kids that are born. It's genetics that determines the outcome. And it's interesting that commentators are divided whether Jacob is following instructions that God has given him in doing this, and that God uses this means outside the normal course of events to produce the result. So whether Jacob is trusting God as he does this, or is Jacob scheming as he did with Esau? And again, God had made the promises, so as with Esau, Jacob didn't need to go into his scheming, but he did. And perhaps Jacob didn't need to use this policy, but he does, and it is blessed. The genetic anticipation is reversed. So rather than having a decreasing amount of marked sheep, they actually increase. And so Jacob has three parts of his scheme. He has these branches that he places in the troughs, and then also he makes the sheep face the ones that are marked when they're born. He makes the sheep face those, again with trying to work on this optical impression. And then he makes sure that the strong animals are the ones that breed for his benefit. And so the result is the man grew exceedingly prosperous, verse 43. Came to own large flocks, and they would need servants to care for them. So his maid servants and men servants also increased, along with camels and donkeys that would be used in herding these large flocks. Jacob is blessed, and we're going to see in the next chapter that very clear it's God who blesses him, and Jacob confesses that as we go into this next chapter, because Laban's sons they don't like what they see. Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father. Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude towards him was not what it had been. And so the relationship sours as Laban sees Jacob prospering against all expectation, and his own flocks not increasing as he anticipated. Clearly Jacob doesn't take everything that belonged to Laban. He's still got some of his sheep. It's the fact that they are increasing to the extent that Jacob's are. And so the Lord says to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers. I will be with you. Jacob calls Rachel and Leah to the fields where his flocks, where he doesn't want anyone overhearing the next part of the scheme, which is to leave without telling Laban. And so he calls his wives to the field to secretly set before them the plan. But notice what he says. Verse 5, he said to them, I see that your father's attitude towards me is not what it was before, but the God of my father has been with me. So there's a contrast there. Your father's attitude has changed, but God has been with me. You know, I've worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me, changing my wages 10 times. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. So again, you got that contrast. Laban has been out for me, trying to cheat me, but God has not allowed him to harm me. If he said, the speckled ones will be your wages, they gave birth to speckled ones. If he said, the streaked ones will be your wages, the flocks bore streaked. And that's how he changed Jacob's wages. So he'd made the agreement initially that all the speckled, spotted, or streaked ones would be Jacob's. But as things began to develop, he thought, no, I'm losing out here. So this year, only the spotted ones will be your wages. And then the next year, only the streaked ones will be your wages. He kept swapping the contract. But God kept blessing Jacob. So God, he says in verse 9, has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. Again, this is the fulfillment of God's promise. He says in Genesis 28, verse 15, at Bethel, I am with you. And will watch over you wherever you go. I will guard you. I will watch over and keep you wherever you go. And that's what the Lord does as Laban seeks to interfere. The God of my father has been with me. God has not allowed him to harm me. God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. Jacob recognizes that God has been at work. Whatever he was doing with his sticks and things, God has been on my side. God has been preserving me against Laban's schemes. And then he relates it to his wives, the dream that he's had at some earlier stage. It would have been useful to know when this dream was. Some commentators think that this dream happened at the beginning, and that's what led Jacob to use that method of trying to optically impress the flocks. But whenever this dream was, he relates it to his wives. In the breeding season, I had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked, speckled, or spotted. The angel of the Lord said to me, Jacob, here I am. Look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flocks are streaked, speckled, or spotted, for I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. So God says, this is happening because I've seen what Laban has been doing. I am the God of Bethel who promised to keep you wherever you went. I've seen what Laban has been doing. I've been guarding you, watching over you, keeping you in this situation. And it's because of God's blessing that Jacob's flocks have increased as they have. The dream confirms God's care of Jacob and directs him as to his return to the land of promise. And Rachel and Leah, they agree with Jacob's analysis of what's happened and the plan to return. Surely all the wealth that God took away from our father belongs to us and our children. Do whatever God has told you. So here again is a pattern of God's work. God's modus operandi, God's way of operating. He blesses despite opposition. God's blessing comes to Jacob despite the opposition of Laban and Laban's attempt to frustrate that. And despite the genetics of the situation that seemed to be against Jacob, God's blessing comes despite all those things and in the face of them. God blesses despite opposition. And that's true for us as we look to God for his blessing, despite the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the interference that they bring to our enjoyment of God's blessing, God blesses despite those things. He overcomes them. He overrules them in his care and keeping of us. God's presence with us and keeping of us is the guarantee of his blessing. And so Jacob proves in this situation. Jacob is blessed despite Laban and his best efforts. God's blessing comes to Jacob. And so we look to God for his blessing in our lives, despite the opposition that we face and all that would seek to frustrate God's blessing. We know that he will keep his promise. He will do as he has said, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, even back into lockdown. God will watch over us. God will keep us. God will care for us if we've taken him as our God, as Jacob did. And so God's blessing, despite all the things in the way of it, comes plentifully into Jacob's life under God's gracious, powerful hand. The God of Bethel. The God of Bethel is our God. He is the faithful, the promise-keeping God who brings a blessing to others through us as well. I think we should add that into our thoughts here. We should be a blessing where we've been placed. We should be channels of God's blessing to those around us in our community, in our families, amongst our contacts. And they should recognize something of that. But God's blessing comes to us on account of another. The Lord Jesus is the one through whom God blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And God's blessing continues to come despite all that would frustrate it in the enemies that we face. God will watch over us and bless us in keeping with his promised purpose for us in Christ. Well, we're going to sing our confidence in that I will stand on every promise of his word. Whatever the situation looks like, I will stand on every promise of his word.